This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live at Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. Beautiful day. Couldn't ask for a better day for baseball. Feels like a perfect day to clinch, doesn't it, Lefko?
Feels incredible.
It just fits. It just feels like this is how it's supposed to go. Mariners, the magic number is one, obviously, in case you're just tuning in. So what that means is if the Orioles lose or the Mariners win, one of the two, they're in. They're in. And it's just, it's surreal. We're here. It's amazing to be in this spot as a Mariner fan after decades of disappointment. And, you know, last night was a bit of a test. That game was a bit of a test. Felt like you had a nice lead there, and then all of a sudden, here comes the Rangers battling back. And you're going, this isn't Kansas City again. I know it wasn't the same gap in terms of the score that they blew, but it kind of had that same feeling, like they were chipping away. It's tied. We're going to extra innings. You're like, you got to be kidding me, man. They're not going to do this. And it was interesting. I'm sure you are on social media as I was on Twitter, but you know, people going joy, anger, joy. Which pretty much summed up the whole night.
It felt like the Atlanta game, the game with all the home runs and the Mariners had that lead. They blew it. And then they had the thrill of a walk-off win. But yes, the stakes so much more magnified because you're building into the situation of knowing that the Orioles had already lost because the Orioles played a day game. So the magic number sitting there at 2, and sure, feasibly you could come into today and have a good shot to clinch if it's still at 2. But the offense looked great. You had multiple home runs from Mitch Haniger. You had 2 home runs from Jared Kelnick, including that impressive one off a lefty, his first of the year off a left-handed pitcher. So you had all that exciting momentum. And then if it would have slipped away, would have put a damper on this. I think so, right? We're coming out here today, and if they had lost last night, you're still excited. But I don't think there's that frothing over, that waiting to burst energy of electricity, of everything that's building in the city right now if they hadn't won last night.
Well, yeah, it'd feel like a missed opportunity. Yeah. It'd be different if you went out there and, hey, you just got behind early and you just couldn't battle back. But when you've got a lead and it's more than a run on your home field, and against a team that's really playing for nothing other than to be spoiler, and they still have talent. Marcus Semien's still obviously a very good hitter, as he proved last night. And Corey Seager, when he's healthy, is hitting over 30 bombs. They've got talent. Every team does. But there's just something about a game like that where you feel like, okay, you got this one. All you got to do is do what you've been doing all year, which is have a shutdown bullpen come in. It's just not what would happen last night. Sewald got touched up a bit. Munoz gave up a couple of runs. Not used to seeing that. So it was just between those two, three, I think it was Sewald gave up a couple of runs. I think Munoz gave up one. But 3 earned runs between the two of them. Not really used to seeing that. And it felt, but again, I'm sort of embracing it while being frustrated in those moments. I love that I'm that invested. I love that the fans are that. You see the people on Twitter, social media, people are living and dying with every pitch, every moment of these games. And that is a longtime baseball fan. That is so cool to see, rather than indifference, rather than just, it's the Mariners. They're terrible. We'll talk about them next year. You know, it's different. It's completely flipped. And we had Marco Gonzalez on earlier, and that conversation will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. He was great, but I said, hey, this feels like it's kind of turning. It could, I mean, depending on how far they go, this could become a baseball town where, you know, the Seahawks have ruled the roost for a number of years, certainly for good reason. Before that, this was a Sonics town. Mid-90s Sonics owned this town. That was the mania, was the Sonics. Then the Seahawks became good. They sort of control it. Now maybe they're in a little bit of a downturn. They're in a rebuild, if you will, trying to find out who they're going to be. And the Mariners are right there knocking on the door of the postseason. It feels like this is who they're going to be moving forward, and we expect them to take the next step regardless of where they end up this year. This is, I think, the expectation for years to come. You are a postseason contender.
You forgot the most important part about last night. As the 206 pointed out, Bob, Diego Castillo back on track last night.
Yes.
What a game.
I will say, and it won't surprise anybody, I was extremely uncomfortable when they brought him in, because we talked about it. His ERA for the month of September is well over 8. It's not been a good month for him. He kind of just brought back those memories of who he was prior to that Mets appearance earlier in the season. And he sort of worked his way into, you know, earning the trust of everybody, or at least me anyway. And then, yeah, this month's been a bit shaky. And yeah, that was That part was great to see. A, they won. That's how they did it. I don't care. They won. Great to see Mitch Haniger with multiple home runs. Great to see Jared Kelnick with home runs. Great to see, you know, Castillo come out there and go 1-2-3. So, yeah, there was certainly a lot of good in a night that carried a lot of stress, if you will, as a fan.
I do like, though, and I am forgetting myself if this is the Scott Service Cup we've already played or we're about to play it, but he said we're going to win tonight, right? We're gonna do it. We're going to end this drought. But then he expanded on that, and Scott Service said that this is just the start. And, yeah, we can get excited about this. I don't know why, but there are the naysayers here and there. You know, you'll see the grumpy texts saying, no, you shouldn't be excited about just making it into the playoffs. Well, yes, you should be right now. And then you can appreciate that this is just the start. And that's why it's so exciting. Getting back to kind of what you brought up to start this segment, this hour here, it is very exciting. It is extremely exciting. It's going to be an incredibly memorable moment when the Mariners clinch. We keep talking about it like it's tonight. It hopefully will be tonight. Whenever they do, that is going to be an emotional outburst, and it's well-warranted. But it's also exciting because it's the start of something. You get over the hump of that. You get that monkey off your back, and then you build into the expectation of what we know the Mariners can do. And what else is exciting is that the best reason about coming out to Edgar's has just arrived. So,
yeah, that's exactly right.
Not to break up my train of thought there. But, yeah, we are going to have a good time out here. It is our last Friday show, as someone pointed out. So I love that Scott Service elaborated on that, and you and Shannon mentioned it, that he said, you know, we're going to go and we're going to get to the World Series. And that might not be this year, but you can see that them getting to the playoffs means that they have the team and they have the pieces to start building toward World Series contention.
Yeah, it's to me, you could almost enter the postseason as a member of this team with a little less pressure, because the expectation for me, and I think a lot of fans, was you get there. Get to the postseason. Yeah, of course they're trying to. The goal is the World Series. They're not going to just sit back and have a cigar and go, well, mission accomplished. Maybe we can win a game or two. No, that's not how that's going to go at all for them. But, you know, there isn't the heavy weight of expectation on their shoulders that the baseball world looks at them as a favorite and they should be accomplishing X, Y, and Z. No, you got into the postseason. That's step one. Listen, the Astros are still going to be the favorite in the American League. The Dodgers will still be the favorite in the National League, or the Mets, or, you know, they're the teams that are super teams, if you will, that are just absolutely loaded. They're the ones that carry the expectation. They carry that sort of pressure, whereas the M's could kind of be like the teams they've been facing almost. Like, hey, we're going to go out there and play loose. Nobody expects us to win. We're going to go out and have fun. We're going to go play loose. It's just like playing the Royals or the Rangers, who really got nothing on the line. I know it's certainly different. It's the playoffs. But you enter as the underdog. You enter the postseason as the team that got in, if it's the third wild card, whatever it is. And you don't carry the weight of, you're supposed to win. Let's see you do it.
Well, and here's why just making the playoffs is such a big deal. Because truly anything can happen. Everything shrinks down to a mini series. So you can trot out your best pitchers over and over again. It's not a long extended series. It is a team that is well balanced. It has the pitching the Mariners have in terms of the relief pitching, the starting pitching, and then some balance offensively. Now they've been home run reliant, sure, but postseason teams are built like the Mariners. Just look at last year. Look at the 100 plus win Dodgers, the 100 plus win Giants. They didn't go to the World Series. The Braves, the 88 win wild card Braves, mm-hmm. went and won the World Series. So yeah, that's why you get excited when you make the playoffs, because truly anything can happen. And if the Mariners come in playing loose, having fun because they got the biggest weight off their back, who knows? Who knows what can happen?
You guys can text in 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. What's your reaction going to be if they lock it up tonight? When they lock it up, whether that's tonight, whether that's tomorrow, whenever it happens, and it will happen, what's your reaction going to be? If you're a long-suffering Mariner fan, I'm guessing there are going to be a lot of people like me, Mike, that are going to feel emotional about it. I mean, it's been, you invest your heart and soul into a team, and yeah, there's a lot of disappointment over the years, and to see it kind of coming to an end, and here's the light at the end of the tunnel, and as you said, the beginning of something. Something I think it's fair to expect each season, that they're going to be in this conversation, in contention. This is the beginning of it. What is your reaction going to be? And my computer's not loading text, so you'll have to read any good ones that come through. Also, we'll do mean text. We'll do it earlier, since Julio is going to join us at 5 o'clock today.
Yeah.
So we'll do mean text before that. So you got a little less time to get creative with the mean things you're going to say to us. But go ahead, work on those, 866-979-3776. But, yeah, just how are you going to feel when it happens, tonight, tomorrow, whenever it is, how are you going to feel? A reminder that this hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Seattle. I want to play this cut. This is from Scott talking about, you know, whether where tonight, talking about last night, where does that rank just in his career, player, manager, where does it rank?
Not me personally. No, I just, you know, I'm always thinking about, you know, the players, and I look back at my playing career, and, you know, when you get this close and how much it means to guys, and, you know, it means a lot to everybody in there. But I think the key point is here, we have a really good team. Obviously, the first to check the first box, you've got to get into the tournament or into the playoffs. And the goal with this club is not just to get in. I know that's the goal for a lot of people in Seattle and the Pacific Northwest is to end the drought. The goal is to get in the playoffs and go deep and win this thing. Get to the World Series.
Love hearing that. I love hearing
that. That's what I was talking about. Okay. Yeah. That's where he said it.
Yeah. And he went on to say, we're going to end the drought tomorrow. This is last night. We're going to end the drought tomorrow. I mean, that's calling for the win. That's calling for the W right there. But, you know, for me, the goal was get to the postseason. Yeah, you're the team that's involved. You're the manager. You don't stop there, obviously. That it goes well beyond that. But for me, I'm looking at it going, okay, you won 90. You got really close last year. You got in. You brought the Cy Young Award winner to your team, the reigning Cy Young Award winner to your team. You made the trade for Winker. That part hasn't worked out, but Geno certainly has. You brought over Frazier. Trade deadline, you go with Luis Castillo. You sign him to an extension. You sign Julio Rodriguez to an extension. I mean, you've made the moves. You've put your money where your mouth is as an organization, and you brought in pieces this year. Some have worked, some haven't. But the next logical step for me and realistic step was you get in the postseason. We talked about it. No excuses. I don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear about travel or weather or blah, blah, blah. You get there. You win 90 the year before. You add all of this. You invest the way you did. There's no reason not to get there. And then next year we raise the bar. Hey, if you go through one, you lose in the first round. Next year you get through a series. Maybe you get through two next year. But the expectations start to creep up.
I'm tearing up a little bit reading all these responses because that's
what's
truly.
I wish I could see them.
There are a lot of big paragraphs and I mean, really, really good heartfelt responses. And Bump and Stacy did a great couple segments on this as well. But someone did say, I think 360 said, "Ugly crying, Bob. I'll be ugly crying." So that was a good one. But
I might be right next to you.
Something like this. Just another 360 here, and not to discount anyone else's because there are a ton coming in. So we don't read yours. We do certainly appreciate it. But 360 says, when they lock it up, I'm going to be very emotional. I've stuck with this team through many losing seasons. I remember being young, carrying on my dad's shoulders after they played the 95 series. We are going to the game tomorrow in the hopes the Mariners would be in the playoff hunt because I bought tickets months ago. I don't care when they do. I just can't wait to celebrate.
Yeah, that's the sentiment. I mean, it's just people are invested. People are on board. People, you know, there are a lot of longtime fans here. There are younger fans, too. I mean, that's the other part that I find so interesting about this conversation is that there are fans that weren't born the last time they went to the playoffs. You know, we've got listeners that were born after 2001. You know, there's a lot of young listeners that listen to the show, listen to the station, that are invested in the Mariners. And
which
they
is crazy because that was just like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, exactly right. But it's amazing. They haven't known anything other than, yeah, the Mariners have never been there. I've heard about it. That was before my time. You know, that's an interesting and strange place to come from somebody who's a little bit older than that and saw them last time they were in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be so cool to see the different reactions, whether it's tears, whether it's just pure elation, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, it's going to have an impact and it touches so many people and to see it come to an end, see that drought come to an end is just, it still feels surreal because we're just so conditioned as Mariner fan. We're conditioned just to go, yeah, they've had a couple of good seasons here and there and it felt like they were a few games away. They were close, but couldn't get over the hump and yeah, maybe they'll bring somebody in next year that'll help. You know what I mean? You're just so conditioned to kind of just regurgitate these lines of semi-optimism. All right, maybe they'll invest. This guy will be better next year, and they'll be closer. It's here now.
What's so cool, and every fan base is unique, and the way they kind of endure and the way they deal with heartache and the way they celebrate. But whenever a long-suffering drought ends, it is so cathartic, and there are so many beautiful stories that come out of that. And you think about the Bills, their 17-year playoff drought, or from a personal standpoint, all of my mom's side of the family is from Chicago. So when the Cubs finally did win a World Series. It was just an outpouring of joy, unlike anything else. Dad's side of the family's from Kansas City. When the Royals, who have been terrible for so long, 100-plus lost seasons, when they finally got a team like the Mariners, got to the playoffs, and by the way, the Royals, that first year, they built up a very strong core, similar to this team. They were a wild card team. They went all the way to the World Series. The next year, they got it done. Not saying the Mariners will follow that exact path, but that's what happens when teams finally break through. You have a young, talented core. You have the pieces in place, and you're playing with that joy and that really the wave of emotion of a whole city and a whole fan base. And I think the players have kind of talked about that. Marco talked about that with you guys. We know Mitch Haniger in his letter last year after the season, they feel that joy and they carry it with them. So whether that's the pressure that maybe we saw on the road trip or now the excitement and that momentous push, you don't know what's going to happen in that postseason. And I think when you finally end a drought, you end something like that for so many long-suffering fans, it's just a whole new world of what could come next.
Yeah, it's just, and my text loaded here for a moment.
Oh, there we go.
So hopefully it'll last. But 509 says, I was 8 in 1995. I've been a fan since then. I'm going to cry hard. Go Mariners. My kids will be watching. So this is a guy who was a kid last time, or girl. Yeah. I don't know if that was a guy or girl. But that person was a kid the last time the Mariners went to the playoffs. And now he's talking about their kids are going to be watching. That just tells you how long it's been.
Yeah.
And just the investment over the years. And that person, that guy or girl, is going to cry hard. And they also said Brock and Salk is the best show on the radio. So now I don't take that so seriously.
Well, okay, an actual feel-good story then. No, that one is too. So
yeah,
Taylor
well,
Jacobs over here.
Judgment's a little skewed, clearly.
Taylor Jacobs over here, our video guy. I mean, he tweeted out a great picture of how he looked in 2001, a young child back then, right, getting ready to become a man in his own right. And now he has a son.
Yeah, he's married. Yeah. He's a son. Now he's a grown-up, a responsible citizen, contributing to society. Before, he was just a problem out there wreaking havoc on the streets. So, yeah, it's just I'm so happy for other Mariner fans, though, because we see it. And listen, you get it through the text. You know, guys, girls, anybody who's lived with this team have been frustrated over it. It's been remarkably frustrating. There have been years where you felt like there's no reason they shouldn't get there. And then something happens. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody doesn't perform. Whatever it is, it's been an amazing stretch of bad luck. At times, it was before John Stanton owned the team. You could talk about ownership, what they did and didn't do. So there's been a lot of reasons for the streak being what it is. But now's the time just to forget about all that and look at it and go, this is the beginning. You're at the very beginning. And I hope people just appreciate it and really allow themselves, even if you're the biggest cynic in the world. We had it yesterday. Remember that? Somebody sent in a text yesterday that said, not to be a Debbie Downer, but they can't hit. They're going to lose the first two games, and the postseason will be over, and it's going to be a long, cold winter. I'm like, my God, that's a new level of cynicism. I mean, it may happen, okay, but they got there. They ended a 20-year drought. They got there. Let's celebrate that moment. Let's be happy. It won't. Whenever it ends, whether it ends in the first round, the second round, whatever happens, yeah, I'll be really bummed. But I will look at this season as a massive success because they achieved the goal, and the goal was to get there.
Yeah, okay. I am tearing up reading this, and that's why I'm wearing the glasses still, my cop glasses, as you said.
So, yeah, officer
here.
Lefko.
But no, it's because of stuff like this. So there are a lot of good ones coming in. But the 425 says, my grandfather, who taught me about this game we all love, passed away in April of 2001 when I was 12. He didn't get to see the greatest season of baseball ever played. Now I'm 33. I'll be sharing this moment with my 2-year-old daughter. The tears will be flowing. Yeah, that's how do you not get emotional about that? So.
No, it's and that person's, you're not alone. You're not alone. I mean, we're seeing generations. We're seeing texts from people that were kids themselves, and now they've got their own kids, or they've got, you know, they were brought up watching the sport with their dad or their mom or their grandfather, whoever got them into it. So there's a connection there. It's an immediate callback to, I remember when I got into the sport, or my dad or my mom or my grandfather, or my grandmother really were huge fans and got me into this. That's awesome. I love hearing that stuff. I love it. We are all on the same page. We are all invested in this team. Yeah, some are more cynical than others, as we've learned. But, man, even that person who I hope they're listening, that sent in that text yesterday, I'm not ripping them. You're allowed to feel how you want to feel. But I hope you find some joy in it. I really do. I hope that guy or girl, man or woman, whoever sent it yesterday, is able to allow themselves a moment of joy when they reach it, when they clinch it, whether it's today, tomorrow, whatever, and when they play game one, be excited, be happy, be just don't go into it with, well, they can't, I know they're going to lose, so it's going to be, I mean, don't do that to yourself. I mean, it doesn't impact you, it doesn't impact me, it doesn't impact other fans. I just, if you've been that invested and you've gotten to that level of cynicism, I hope just for a brief time, you can allow yourself to enjoy it, enjoy the ride. Because as we've seen, incredibly rare, incredibly rare. But the other side of it is, I feel like it's not going to be very rare. I feel like this is the beginning of what should be a yearly conversation. Meanwhile, it is Friday, which means it's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We'll continue to talk, obviously, about the Mariners. We're out here at Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. We're going to get a little greedy here, but if you could pick, what's your ideal clinching scenario for the Mariners? We're going to get into that coming up. It is Wyman and Bob with Mike Lefko in for Wyman. Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live at Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park on an absolutely perfect day for baseball. You couldn't ask for a better day. The sun is shining. There's not a cloud out here, Lefko. Mike Lefko in for Dave Wyman,
You're
by
right.
the way. Dave,
wow.
Dave on his way to Detroit for the Seahawks-Lions matchup. So Lefko filling in today on a beautiful day. We still have a lot coming your way, including Julio Rodriguez joining us here live on set at Edgar's Cantina. 5 o'clock is what we're looking at. So come on out, say hello. If you're coming to the game, I think it's going to be packed in here. I think the idea that they can clinch it tonight, and Scott Service said as much after the game last night, like the drought ends tomorrow.
What's awesome, too, and what you know about this town, right? It's a big event sports town. So I think as this became the reality that tonight was going to be the night, more and more people were jumping on that, too. Like, oh, I got to get to this game. How do I get tickets? Got to get to the game. They've sold out immediately. And then it's like friends are texting you. They're saying, all right, how do I get a ticket? You know, is there any way to get in still? And just everyone wants to be here because there's that wanting to remember where you were. And there's also that big FOMO. You don't want to miss out on the night the Mariners clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, maybe we can get an update from if anybody in the front office of the Mariners is listening, just on where they're at with tickets for this game. Because I know there weren't many left. I think I saw an email about that yesterday.
I think they're gone by now. I think just seeing on Twitter,
it
was sold out. So.
All right. I mean, that's great. Bummer for the people that can't be here, but that's great. It's going to be a packed building. Logan Gilbert on the hill. The A's, I was just having a conversation with the guys here at Edgar's, our buddy Tim behind the bar, who does a fantastic job, by the way. You definitely need to come down to Edgar's. If you come out to the game, say hello, have some food, drinks. They do it right.
Yeah, can I just say real quick, too, how much I'm going to miss that? Like, this is our last Edgar's of the year, regardless of what happens in the postseason, if the Mariners host games or not, because we can't be out here during the playoffs. MLB handles that and all that stuff. So all year, this has been terrific, and we have a lot of fun out here. And it really is just a really incredible time. You know, it's fun. You get the sun. You're in this atmosphere that builds up the game. The fans come in here, and I really have enjoyed all season being out here at Edgar's.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's always a good time, and man, the season has gone quick. I mean, I told you it would happen, Lefko. We're in single-digit games. I told you it was coming. You didn't believe me.
It is sustainable, I guess. Oh, I mean, it's so weird. It is. It simultaneously took forever, and then it went by in a flash, because I remember us just going on and on about how terrible it was. They couldn't start this season. The lockout dragged on, and we were scared that we'd miss a couple of weeks or a month of the season. Then opening day came and went in terms of not starting technically on time, but they got it together, and now here we are at the end.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a text here. It says, I checked game time to see what tickets were available at about 8 this morning. There were a good handful available between $30 and $40. Then I checked again about 2 hours ago, and the cheapest one available on game time was $92. So I don't know what game time is. Is that ticket resale?
Yeah, one of these broker things, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it's so cool. I just love it. I just absolutely love the investment. I love that people are trying to get down here, finding tickets, and hopefully the team comes through for everybody here. And we asked the question before the break, you know, which is your preferred method of locking it down? And I've been clear on it. For me, it's win. Handle your own business. It's fun to watch the other teams, and that's all been part of the fun, seeing what the Orioles are doing, what's Toronto doing, what's Tampa doing. But win it. Take care of business yourself. Back up Scott's claim last night, more importantly. Back it up. I love that he said it. I love that Scott Service was that bold to say, the drought ends tomorrow. He said this post-game last night in no uncertain terms, and I was at first like, whoa, that's different. And then I'm like, yes, I like it. I like hearing that. So that's, there are going to be a lot of fans that will be like, I don't care how they get there, just get in, which I totally relate to. But if you're giving me the choice, yeah, win it. Don't rely on the Orioles losing to get you in and maybe you drop tonight's game. So to me, that might be a little deflating. You're still in, still mission accomplished for the most part, but I'd prefer they win.
Well, not just that. If we're going to get really selfish and really greedy, I'd prefer that Baltimore wins because the logistics of it's going to be strange. Baltimore,
they win.
Baltimore, so that means the Mariners have to win to celebrate and get in tonight. What's going to be strange is that Baltimore plays at 4:05 against the Yankees, so they could very well lose in the second inning, and all of a sudden the Mariners clinch the playoffs. But you can't have that unbridled joy. The fans are going to celebrate. They're going to have fun. But we're in the middle of a game. And so the Mariners need to focus on that because they're tracking down a number two wild card, a number one wild card. So it kind of takes away from the little of the unabridged, unadulterated, pure celebration. Now, this is just me nitpicking. But it would be incredible if the Orioles win, so it keeps the onus on the Mariners. Then the Mariners win, and we see the celebration that happened last night. If that celebration double it, triple it, is tonight's celebration, it's going to be unreal. And then it'll be shared with everyone in the stands. I mean, I know this is not feasible, and I know it's not logistically possible because they don't want people on the field, but you heard Goldsmith's call, right? He said it's a full 26-man dance party.
Yes.
What if it was a full 40,000?
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone runs out of the field, joins the dance circle. That's how you celebrate the Mariners clinching a playoff spot.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be so much fun to watch, though. I'm hoping it happens tonight. You know, there's a lot of people that are obviously going to be here. There'll be a lot of people that'll be here tomorrow night and games after that, and they're all going to mean something because once you lock it down, now you're playing for your positioning, right? You still want to, you know, Marco was talking about, we want home games. We want home games here. Can you imagine a home playoff game here? I mean, getting in is one thing. Having a game here in Seattle, we got a taste of it last season. You've gotten some of it this season. But last season during that Angels series, the final series of the regular season, this place was berserk. It was madness. So that the idea of that happening here, but it's the playoffs. I can't even imagine what that would sound like, what the energy would be like in this building.
I hope we get a preview tonight. And then, yes, I hope it's replicated again next weekend because the season ends on Wednesday. And then, really, you know what's crazy, Bob, is that a week from tonight, that could be the reality. It comes that soon. Next Friday is the first playoff game. The wild card series, all four of them, begin next Friday. So we haven't really focused on the date and the logistics of all that yet because seating-wise, a lot still has to happen. But feasibly, there could be a situation where the Mariners are hosting a home playoff game next Friday because Toronto has three. Oh, you're tracking. Okay.
Tracking the ball.
The second you look up, I'm terrified because my back is to the guy's taking
BP. I'll call it out. Yeah. I picked that one up. I saw it all the way into the seats.
So the Blue Jays have a two-game lead on the Mariners, and they host the Red Sox for three and then go to Baltimore for three. So it might be asking a lot, but keep in mind that
we're rooting for Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly, because keep in mind that the Mariners have the tiebreaker over the Blue Jays, so that is great. If you make up two games, you win that spot. It's actually slightly less than two because of that. So it is definitely possible, but for that to happen, the Mariners have to win.
Yeah.
So they do have to keep winning in order to chase down the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and more importantly, other than, that's just how I'd prefer they get into the postseason, I just want them to have some momentum, have some, you know, as Gino would say, some good vibes. Yeah. Have some good vibes rolling into the postseason. You don't want to feel like, we're kind of crawling to the finish line at the end, but we're it. Yeah, you don't want that. You want to go in with some momentum, and that's the preferred way. But they're going to get there. It's going to be glorious, and we're all going to celebrate. I like this one from the 425 saying,
a funny one too.
Saying, I prefer they get in tomorrow because I'm going to the game tomorrow. Very selfish, they wrote.
well, me too, but that would be good. Maybe they can clinch it. I started laughing at this one. The 360. I can't wait until tonight. I told my wife 20 years ago I'm not changing my underwear until the Mariners make the postseason.
Your poor wife. Your poor friend base, everybody around you.
Yeah, after that.
Goodness. All right, it is Friday, which again means it's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up, there's always plenty of people, plenty of reasons that come out that just make us say, why, man? And that's coming your way next as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. It's Wyman and Bob. Lefko in for Wyman. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Tell me why. Why, man? Why?
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
He's a habitual line stepper.
What were you thinking? What are you doing?
Why are you the way that you are?
It's the Why Man of the Week.
Why Man of the Week. We do it every week here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710. And generally, it's something somebody says. Somebody says during an interview, podcast, somebody does something on the field. This is about a guy that I used to really, really like. I was a big Brett Favre fan. I really liked watching him play. He was one of those guys that, if the Seahawks went up against him, I obviously wasn't rooting for him. But just you sort of admire him when you're not playing him. He was just entertaining to me and just seemed like a goofy guy and all of that. And then now you read these stories about what's been happening with his charity and how he took welfare funds from the state of Mississippi to really enhance the athletic department at his alma mater for his daughter who's going to Southern Miss or whatever is going on there. And now the latest story, and it doesn't seem to be much debate, by the way. The more detail you get into on this story, there doesn't seem to be an out. Like, often it'll be kind of gray. It'll be like, well, it could have been this, it could have been that. It seems very precise as to what he did. The text messages are there. The questions he was asking about the money he was receiving that was earmarked for those that were really struggling financially and suffering, and he was using it. And we're not talking about $10,000, $100,000. You're talking a fat chunk of change to help build a facility.
It says $77 million.
Yeah, and now he's got a charity that is set up to benefit cancer patients, people really struggling in need, and you look at the distribution of that money and the majority of it going to the same thing he was borrowing welfare funds for, and that is to help the facilities at Southern Miss. And, you know, I guess his daughter goes there. So, that the majority of the attention, the focus, and the finances going to that. And it just, you're reading this going, man, what kind of person are you? What are you doing? First of all, you have the financial wherewithal to do a lot of different things that people can only dream of. But to sit there and bilk your state out of funds intended for those that are in desperate need and use it to enhance a facility at your daughter's college is mind-boggling. And to see the text exchange about, is there any way the media could find out about this and any way to see where this money came from? Okay, good. You're just reading this going, you're a scumbag. You are a true scummy person. And that's very disappointing for me because, as I said, I was a big fan of this guy.
This is a guy who is, it just appears he's used to getting whatever he wants. And so he doesn't want to, by the way, he has enough money probably to donate anything close to what they solicited and then funneled toward that athletic department because in his story it says, and that's the worst part, that the charity, the money they took from their own charity that people thought they were donating to help disabled children, to help families and children who are fighting cancer, a little more than $130,000. Now, I know everyone doesn't have that lying around, but Brett Favre, a longtime professional athlete, a lot of endorsements. We see the Wrangler commercials. Can't escape those.
He's still doing Copper Fit.
Yeah, he's all over the place. Brett Favre could have set something up on his own to get that money legally. He didn't have to do it illegally. This is just a guy who's, you know what? Hey, I have some pull in this state. They love me here. I was the greatest quarterback to ever go to that college. Now my daughter goes there. So I'm going to just get people I want to help me out to do this. Seems like there's no accountability. And for Brett Favre, who's kind of larger than life in that state, he doesn't want to inconvenience himself, so he's going to see who can help him.
Yeah, it's just when you get into the details, you get past the headlines, it's really indefensible. I mean, it again, a lot of times you'll see stories, and you're like, all right, let me read it, and there's not a ton of detail. It's kind of gray. He could have done this. They could have done that, and it's like a lot of speculation. You're like, well, hang on, let's not rush to judgment here. And then when you read this, you're like, all right, I don't see a logical explanation for it. When they've got the text exchange, when they've got hard copy, and him flat out say, is there any way the media could find out where this money came from? And the person he was dealing with saying, no, we've covered that or whatever. I'm paraphrasing with the response. But and then his response was, okay, good. You're just like, dude, you're a scumbag.
Anyway, we can get prison labor to help out with this. That was another one of to help defray the costs of the construction and whatever they wanted to do. Yeah. Then that's why, Bob, that this segment exists. We keep joking that one day we might not need this segment, but they keep bringing up examples all over sports. There are so many people that keep contributing to this segment that it lives on. Every Friday, we just say, why, man?
Because
there are people like that.
It sounds so light, but it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
It is so disappointing for me. And I would imagine those that grew up hardcore Packer fans or Brett Favre fan, whatever, somebody who's truly invested to hear that. And I know your first reaction is to defend. I would just invite, just read the details of each of these stories and try to find something that even sounds like it's defensible. It really isn't. Story number two. I hadn't heard this. Now, first base umpire. Weird. How do you say his last name? John
Trumpain or what?
Trumpain.
Yeah.
Calls three balks in one inning on Marlins pitcher Richard Bleier.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Three balks in one inning.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw a balk called. I used to think Andy Pettitte balked every time he threw to first base. It just seems like a rare. Yeah, it happens. He gets called now and again, but three times in one inning. That's insanity. Did you see the highlights of it?
You want to hear the clip? We got the clip. I saw it, and it was hard to tell, but yeah, here's the audio. Of that.
Okay.
Two out and a runner at first with the Mets down by three. So if you pitcher, how do you approach him? And a balk has been called against Bleier. Didn't come to a full stop. And McNeil goes to second base.
Okay, one.
Vientos against the righty, and Vogel back against the lefty. And McCord's in for a strike, and it's 2-1.
Another balk call.
Wow. So take that pitch away, take his strike away, and it's the second balk of the inning. A Bleier who had never committed a balk in his major league career before tonight, and now he's committed two in the course of one at bat in his career against Bleier. Yeah, that's a strike. He thought it was low. And he called another balk. So he balks in a run, and now it's 6-4. Three balks in the inning committed by Richard Bleier. And now Donnie's going to get himself thrown out.
Oh, rightfully so.
Three balks in an inning.
Did you hear the part? He had never committed a balk.
In his career.
Yeah.
And he's got three in one inning.
So
I wonder,
clearly the ump is
somebody's out there with
someone.
There's some
something.
Goofy baseball. Alex Mayer should be looking at this saying the last time this happened or this has never happened or it was 1922 or this has got to be if it's happened before. It's got to be a remarkably rare thing, I would think, right? I've never heard of it happening three times in one inning.
I've never heard of three times in one game.
Yeah.
Because usually the pitcher does something wrong, and it's unintentional, but they do it incorrectly, so they fix it. Or they are doing something that leads to that, and the umpire goes to them, the manager maybe goes to them, and one of them says, you have to cut this out. Okay, they get rid of it. But the fact the ump is just kind of sitting there, and it seems like he didn't make the effort to go and mention that to the pitcher, and he's just nitpicking and waiting for whatever that little minor nuance is to call him out on it. I put the Y man on the ump here. That's just the ump show power trip
trying to be part of the show.
Absolutely.
Trying to go Joe West on him. Man, all right. Y man is presented by Mazda of Everett. Coming up, a big hour coming your way. Plenty of Mariners talk, but we're going to break down this Seahawks-Lions matchup to talk about that defense. What might be different in this game? All of it. We've got you covered. We continue live from T-Mobile Park, Edgar's Cantina. It is Wyman and Bob with Lefko in for Wyman today. Seattle Sports Station on 710.